Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. And what a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house once again. I trust that you can sense the Lord's presence in this place, and you've already been blessed just by the decision to be here this Sunday night. If you have your Bibles with you at this time, if you would look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 6. The book of Acts in chapter 6. Sunday nights, it's been about a year now that we've actually started this. It's back at the first of the year. We started on Sunday nights teaching on little-known Bible characters that have a great message for us. And if they're found in the Bible, then God has a purpose for every word that He has preserved for the English-speaking people here in this King James Bible. God has a purpose for every word. And if He has a purpose for every word, for Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of God, how much more the characters, the Bible characters that He has preserved and kept their name in the Scriptures for us to learn from. And so knowing that, we've been going back and forth. We've been in the Old Testament, and then we'll go back to the New Testament. It's picking out a Bible character, a little-known Bible character, one that you might not have heard a message preached on before, but that has a powerful message for us. And we found so many, and there's numerous Bible characters, and we've, like I said, it's been a whole year, and we're still just scratching the surface. Amen. There's so many in the Bible that it's been recorded for our learning and our understanding, and understanding the very truths and the principles of God. And so here in Acts chapter 6, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verses 1 down to verse 7. This is when the church, under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, the apostles decide, as God led them, to be able to establish deacons in the New Testament church. And so as we look here in chapter 6, we're going to read this, the study of and the first deacons of the New Testament church. And chapter 6 of Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, people were just getting saved, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Already having church conflict, amen? So that's nothing new. We just, you deal with it and move on. And so here we find in the first church, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Amen. Preaching the word of God always has been the most important thing in the New Testament church. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, we do want to thank you, God, for the opportunity that you made available to us to be in church, for everyone that's here who's taken advantage of that, and God, what we've already received tonight. But now as we look into the precious word that you have preserved for us, I know you have a message for each one that's here tonight, and I pray that each one would have an ear to hear what you have to say to them. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, in verse 2, we find here the Bible talks about the apostles, or the 12, which would have been the 12 apostles that Jesus chose as Jesus established the church and his walk on the face of the earth. And then he prepared the 12 apostles. And of course, one of those, we know that Judas was not a true apostle, but then they replaced him at this time. But the 12 apostles to continue the work that Jesus Christ established, and that is the New Testament church. And so now we have this New Testament church and the beginning of the apostolic age. And a lot of things were taking place. But in this time, so we find here that there's the 12 apostles there in verse 2 when the Bible says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. So the 12 are there in Jerusalem, and they call all of those that had received Christ as their Savior. Now, the number was multiplying. It was just a blessing to see so many would have wanted to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the church was growing, and what a great time it was in this first century church right after the ascension of Christ, and all the good things were taking place. Well, that was the 12 apostles, including Philip, the apostle, okay? And then we look to the seven deacons that they were to present to the church. And these are the ones that the apostles looked to and then would present to the church for the church's approval to be able to establish them as deacons in the church. And in verse 5, the Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and a Holy Ghost. And our Bible character tonight that we're going to be looking at, Philip. Not the apostle Philip, but the one who would eventually become a deacon in the first New Testament church in Jerusalem. And so Philip, one of the first New Testament deacons. Now, first, what I wanted to see in the life of Philip and studying this Bible character, and there's much that the Bible says about him, and we'll see this as we study this testimony of Philip. The character of Philip, rather, but we find, first of all, his testimony. His testimony, first of all, to be considered by the apostles to present to the believers at the church, the disciples of Christ. And so in verse 3, it says something about his testimony. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. The first thing we find that the Bible tells us about this Bible character named Philip is he was a man of honest report, which is, praise the Lord for that. I believe that Paul had Philip in mind because he knew that God had Philip in mind when he wrote the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, not only concerning the pastors of the New Testament church, which are still the qualifications today for a true biblical church. If it's a biblical church, then it has to follow biblical mandates. And if you have a position in the New Testament church, and if God gives a qualification for that position, in order for you to have a biblical position, you have to meet those biblical qualifications. And so over in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, and this is a testimony to Philip, the first deacon. We won't go into the qualifications for the pastor because we're looking at Philip tonight. But in Philip, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, and this is right after he gives the qualifications for the pastors of the New Testament churches, then he says this would be the qualifications for the deacons of the New Testament church. And that New Testament church began by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. Amen? Yeah. And it is to carry through this New Testament church age. We've been living in the New Testament church age now for some 2,000 years. The end of the New Testament church age will take place at the rapture of the church. And so we don't want to get into all that tonight, but I want you to understand that the same qualifications for the first century positions of pastor and deacon are the very same. The Bible hasn't changed. God has not changed his mind. And so the very same qualifications for that first century church for the pastor and deacon are the very same for us today. And verse 8 says, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless, not sinless, but without blame. Even so must their wives be grave and not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. And let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. That's a qualification for a deacon in the New Testament church. ruling their children and their own house as well. An example for God's perfect will for every individual, for every marriage, for every home. That's the example. That's what the deacon and the pastor as well is, that they're to be an example to the flock or to the congregation of the church. And so let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children, their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we find about Philip to start with, he met the qualifications to be considered as a deacon in the first established New Testament church in the apostolic age. What a tremendous testimony that he met those qualifications. That means that he had a honest report, which would also could be said as he had a good name. When somebody mentioned the name of Philip, anyone with any character, anyone with any Bible knowledge would say, that's a good man. That's a good man. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. Think of what precious ointment can do for the body. It didn't say what kind of ointment. We think about the ointment that they would have been familiar with would be an ointment that would have, first of all, an ointment they would have put on to protect their skin. So an ointment that was protective. An ointment that when you went out to in the sun, it would keep you from having sun damage. And so this ointment would have been precious ointment because it was for protection. There's other types of ointment that they would use for healing. If you had a cut, if you had an infection, then they would have a type of ointment that they would put on that cut or that infection. And that ointment would actually be used for healing. Precious ointment, whatever it might be. That means it was something that was used for healing, for protection. Now he says a name, having a good testimony, is more precious, is better than precious ointment. They would also have an ointment for conditioning. If I would ask right now how many of you use an ointment for conditioning, I think there would probably be hands flying up all around. We probably don't want to do that. Maybe more men than women. I don't know. But conditioning. And so we find here that the idea here is understanding what the precious ointment can do for you, what the precious ointment can do for the body, protection, healing, conditioning. And the Bible says, your testimony, which comes from your character, who comes from how you live your life. When others see it, say, he's a man of honest report. He's a man of character. Has a good name. I think we ought to be aware of our testimony. We ought to want to live to have a good name. Because God can use that, and God wants to use that. Philip's testimony, he was a man of honest report, had a good name. In verse 3 it says, not only were they looking for those men that had was honest report, but they was also looking for those who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Another qualification that we would look at the position of a deacon and say that, well, they have to be somebody that is spiritually minded. Somebody who, because they are spiritually minded, can make wise decisions, can help in the leading of the church, and can help the pastor in making wise decisions that would affect the body of Christ, which is the church. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look there with me. Now these are examples for all of us. All of us ought to have a desire to have a good testimony, be known as with a man of a good name, a man of honest report. We ought to have, if you're saved here tonight, listen to me, as a believer, we ought to want to be known as having full of the Holy Spirit of God, meaning that I am yielded to God, I'm living a life, and that God gives me discernment because I've got a testimony that I make wise decisions. And we can have that. We can all make wise decisions. Why? Because as we studied this morning, if you're saved, you have God living in you. You have the Spirit of God that has sealed you to the day of redemption. You have the Spirit of God that the Bible says His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And if we're full of the Holy Spirit, and let me say, there's a person of the Holy Spirit. We studied that in Sunday school this morning. And he is not quantitative. He is not something that you can have just an arm of the Holy Spirit or a leg of the Holy Spirit or a head of the Holy Spirit. You have all of the Holy Spirit because He is the person of God, the Holy Spirit. You have all the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling inside of you. And so to be full of the Holy Spirit means that I have completely yielded myself over to Him. And now the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with my spirit, is leading me and helping me to make the decisions that God would have me to make. Yeah, it's amazing when you really understand God's design of salvation and the New Testament church. The 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have received the spirit of God, and so as we yield to the spirit of God, he can reveal to us the things of God. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak, so it controls how we even speak and how we live our lives. The answer that we have for the questions that we might have to answer. Which of things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So we have this Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, if we yield to, will teach us and help us in our everyday affairs. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So now we find that this testimony that we find Philip, first of all, he had as a man of honest report. He had a good name. He was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. He was able to make spiritual decisions. I would think that we would all want to be known for somebody who was able to make wise spiritual decisions. What a great testimony. Well, after his testimony, we find now his service as a deacon. When asked, first of all, what was it? Was he a deacon and then established a good testimony? No, he established a good testimony. He positioned himself for whatever God's purpose was for his life. He positioned himself by receiving the knowledge of the Bible, the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the will of God, and understanding how God would have him to live so that I can have a good testimony and I can be making wise decisions. He established that. And because he positioned himself, then he was approached and asked to be one of the first deacons. Amen. So we find about this little known Bible character. Amen. I think a powerful message for us tonight in his testimony and then his service as a deacon, because after he became a deacon, look back with me to our text tonight, chapter 6. Because he wanted to serve where God planted him. And if God planted you here, then you look to serve God here as a part of this body of Christ. And the Bible says, and the word of God increased. Because of Philip's commitment to do what God asked him to do in this New Testament church, it enabled the apostles to be freed up to be able to do what God called them to do, what was the most important thing that they could do that not everyone could do, and that was to preach the Word of God. That's what they were called to do, and that's what was going to make the greatest impact. And so we find that they were able to preach the Word of God because now they had the deacons that were doing what God called them to do, that freed them up to allow them to do what God called them to do. And when we do that, when we find ourselves in the will of God, accomplishing what God has us to accomplish, we'll see souls saved. We'll see what the Bible says here. The Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples, they were already being saved, but they multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. The church being strengthened and moving forward. What a blessing. Willing to do whatever needed to be done. Now we'll find that Philip, even though he was serving as a deacon, would later become a great preacher of the Word of God, be known as Philip the Evangelist. But in the beginning, he was just ready and willing to say, God, if you want me to do this, then I'll do this. If you want me to do that, then I'll do that. If you can best use me at this point in time, in this place or in that place or whatever there was to be done, and whenever there become a need in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we had those that had a testimony like Philip saying, here am I, God, use me. It's not about me. It's not about me being exalted. It's about me being used as an instrument in the hand of an almighty God to accomplish what God wants and needs to have accomplished right now. I love that. This is the testimony of Philip. As I look back over the 30-year history of this church, I've seen a lot of Philips in this church. I continue to see God sending a lot more Phillips to this church. From starting out in a storefront some 3 miles from here in an Upper Room Baptist Church, almost named it the Upper Room Baptist Church. I think they said that was one of the questions on the college rally. This they had a scavenger hunt, and one of the questions is, what could the church have been named? Something like that. And if we go back in our history, we had a vote on, do we want to name the church Lighthouse Baptist Church or the Upper Room Baptist Church? Because we had to climb a flight of steps up to an upper room, and that's where the Lighthouse Baptist Church was established, but we didn't know it was going to be the Lighthouse Baptist Church then. So you could be a member of the Upper Room Baptist Church on 6950 East Raymond Street. And everyone would come in and say, why are you the Upper Room Baptist Church? And so we thought about that, and we said, you know, Lighthouse is a much better name. And so we were named. We voted on it, and we were unanimous in voting on the name of the church that was established on 6948, I think it was, whatever it was, East Washington Street, as being the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And from there, God sent deacons. And from there, God sent Sunday school teachers. And there, God sent nursery workers. And there, God sent to us those that would be able to sing special music. And those who would be able to, one of our first music leaders, first music directors, Brother Ron Midgley. He can't sing. If you've ever heard Ron sing, you can know why he's not in the choir. But he said, if that's what God wants me to do, I'm willing. Amen. And what God wants from us more than talent and ability is faithfulness and a willingness to do whatever God asks us to do. Amen. Amen. And we've got to where we're at today because God sends those Phillips, some in women's clothes because of women. Who had the very same testimony, who had the very same desire. Use me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. 30 years of that. What a blessing. 30 years of seeing how God worked to bring Lighthouse Baptist Church where it is today. To be a tool that God is using in a great way all around the world. Yeah. to have a testimony amongst other Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches that say, appreciate the work you're doing there in Indianapolis. Yeah. What a blessing. His service as a deacon when asked. He was faithful to God when facing adversity. It wouldn't be long after the church would have to go through some very tough times. Look in Acts chapter 8. Look in Acts chapter 8. By one of the least that you would expect to give the church problems, Paul, before he got saved though, before he saw the light, his name was Saul at that time. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Talked about the first martyr, Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered. Satan was trying to destroy what God had established. Little did he know what God allowed would benefit the cause of Christ. Throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So here again, I love it because it tells us except the apostles. So the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, which helps us to know that when we hear of Philip, it's not talking about Philip the apostle. Because we go on down just a few verses here and we find the mentioning of Philip. And because it said the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, we know this to be that man that had a great testimony that was willing to serve as a deacon in the first church at Jerusalem. And now look what it says about Philip. Verse 5. He went through some difficult times. He went through some adversity because he was part of them being scattered. But he didn't lose faith. He knew what God was doing had a purpose to it. And so we find here that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. This was a deacon who had the ability to preach the word of God. And now that he was scattered abroad, become one of those that said, hey, I have the knowledge of the word of God. I've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I have what others need. And God, now I'll do whatever you want me to do next. And what God was leading him to do next was that he had been determined to look to God, and God sent him down to preach the word of God in Samaria. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying, then this was the apostolic age, a different disposition in that it was a transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They did not have the completion of the Word of God, but it was the apostolic age. So it's for unclean spirits crying with loud voice and come out of many that were possessed with them and many taken with palsies that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of all of the adversity, doing the will of God can produce perfect love. We preached on this morning, which produces great joy. Amen. Yeah. So he made the most out of what was given. He did what was needed to have the hand of God upon his life. He continued to do what he needed to do to have the hand of God upon his life. And as he did that, he preached with power. He performed the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that God did during the apostolic age. And he was used by God to bring people great joy. Wow. You see, as a pastor, pastoring this church for 30 years, I know that there's nothing that I can do that would have led this church to where it's at today. It's the hand of God that does that. And for 30 years, I've been crying out for God. And most of you know that. Most of you know, not only do I pray during the week, but Saturday night is, this is my prayer closet. And the most important thing I do is make sure that I have the hand of God upon my life before I ever stand behind this sacred desk. Before I ever preach, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt the message that God has. I don't know who's going to be here, but God does. I've not stopped doing that for 30 years. And I will not stop doing that as long as I'm pastoring this church. Because I know for me to be effective in this pulpit is to have the hand of God upon my life. Because it's God who does it. We're just vessels that He works through. Yeah. What a great message from the life of Philip. It's not over. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now we start looking at Philip now, not only the preacher, but Philip the evangelist. God sent him all over the place. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. You want me to leave a great hallelujah revival to go to the desert? Don't question God. Just say, yes, Lord. If you know it's God's will, amen. But can I tell you that to know God's will is to know how God works. We can be very confused concerning the will of God. We have to know how God works so we're not confused. So Philip knew how God was working in his life. He tells him to go, and he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, the eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. He went to Jerusalem, he wanted to find the truth, but Jerusalem was in an uproar now. There was a lot of persecution. And so he goes out into the desert, and God sends Philip to him. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. God had a purpose and a plan for this man to be saved. We don't hear anything else, but can I tell you, in heaven we'll understand that God was working through Philip, and this man impacted the cause of Christ in the world. No matter what we see, no matter what we experience, this world, God's work is so much greater than just me and this church. God has the whole world and eternity in view all the time. And every decision that God leads us to make, you never know how God might use it to impact not only Indianapolis, but the whole world. We have missionaries from this church in other places around the world who made decisions right here. But God says, I want you to make a decision here, but I want to use you to reach the world around the world. Amen. Wow. That's exciting. So he's still full of the Holy Spirit, still yielded to God and making decisions that God wants him to make. And then verse 35, the Bible says, Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the right answer if you're going to be baptized. You have to know that you've been saved. You've received Christ as your Savior. And when they were come up out of the water, another example of biblical baptism is complete submersion in water. And so as they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I believe that the Spirit of God took away Philip, but the eunuch now had what he needed for joy, and he would be used by God in some other capacity. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now that comes into play in our last point, in our last little bit that God gives us concerning the life of this little known Bible character, Philip, which is found all the way back in Acts chapter 21. And we'll close with this. Philip, the man with a godly testimony. Philip, the deacon. Philip, the evangelist. Now we look at Acts chapter 21, verse 8 and 9. And the next day, the Bible says, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. That's where we find the Bible saying that's where Philip had stationed himself, had placed himself. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. Amen. Now he's known as Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, one of the deacons, original deacons, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Philip, the last testimony we have of Philip, is a man who never lost sight of his family. I love that. Philip was willing to do whatever God led him to do without losing sight of maintaining a godly home to raise godly children. If you're in the will of God, can I tell you, they will not conflict. They will not. You'll not have to choose between family and serving God, because God's already given us commandments concerning family. He's already told us the importance. You can't even be called into the ministry without having your family where God wants it to be. Without first of all being the husband that God wants you to be and the father that God wants you to be. Can I tell you, there's no comparison there. There is, you don't have to choose between one or the other. That's not God. I praise the Lord for the testimony of a Philip. When he was married is uncertain. But now we find that he has four grown, somewhat semi-grown daughters who the Bible says he wants us to know that they were pure. Because they've seen a godly testimony in their mother and father. They were raised in order to honor God with their bodies and with their spirits, which are God's. They were raised not to believe whatever the world says about morality, but stay focused on what God says and will not change throughout this New Testament church age. And not only that, they were holy in their Christian testimony. These girls knew the Bible and the Word of God enough to be able to be used by God to teach other women, to be able to present the truths of God to other women. That's what the Bible says. Can I tell you, our first ministries is to make in our homes a place of refuge that God wants it to be. Don't get confused on that. Don't let Satan separate you from that. The most important things that you can do for your children, however, is have a testimony that Philip had in raising them. A love and a willingness to do whatever God would want us to do. Let our children see God in us so they don't believe it to be a game. Just church being a game people play. They don't see the reality of the truth of the Word of God. It's true. We need to live a life that's a testimony to that, which is a good name. Because it comes back full circle. Full circle. What a great example of a life for us to learn from. This little-known Bible character named Philip. I trust God will use to send a strong message to each one.